everybody. Welcome to Pushing the Hot Button, our irregular podcast where we talk about some hot topics as they occur. I'm joined with Clint Prentice.
If only we were around during the hot coffee scandal, am I right?
And Matthew Maluski.
You're not right, Clint.
Oh, that's too bad.
So we are gathered here today.
Gathered around.
To talk about this recent sort of game journalism scandal involving Eurogamer and some journalists specifically advertising for games to like get PS3s. That's the allegation, essentially. There was this, I'm not sure exactly who, what company, but they had this thing where, if you use this hashtag, then you will be entered in a chance to win a PS3.
I believe it was from a convention that was kind of held by PR people.
It was that was different-ish, I believe. Like, there was this, what Matthew's talking about, there was this basically award show where game journalists were being awarded, but it was like with PR people in attendance as well, and it was kind of weird. But I believe that was something like the contest for PS3s was something different. I can't be sure though, because I didn't go.
Why didn't you?
Because they didn't invite me.
PS3.
No. Okay, but we'll get into that. But I mean, fuck, why? I have a PS3. I don't need another one.
So here's what happened. John Walker, he's an editor for Rock Paper Shotgun, posted on his blog after he tweeted sort of disapprovingly, saying, it's sort of a shame that game journalists are advertising video games for free shit. That's sort of a breach of ethics in his mind.
He cited the now famous picture of Jeff Keighley sitting behind sitting in front of the Mountain Dew and the Doritos.
Yes,
with the coldest stare you have ever seen.
And maybe we can link that somewhere in the post for the podcast.
I'll just make that the header image.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was one of the things that was cited specifically by Robert Florence. So there are two people here. I'll try to lay this out. There's John Walker of Rock Paper Shotgun, who started out by saying this is a bad thing. Then Robert Florence of Eurogamer wrote
that's the one that I'm talking about. Yeah,
agreeing with John Walker,
mm-hmm.
and calling out a couple people in particular, one of which was games journalist Lauren Wainwright.
Freelance journalist working for a whole bunch of different publications.
Yeah, like 1UP and
I think IGN. She did some, IGN. And Matthew, you were actually right. I'm reading the post now, and it was the GMAs, or the Game Media Awards, where PR and game journalists were coming together to vote on, I guess, the best in media.
Like magazines and like news.
I don't know.
News sites. I believe that's what it was, and that's kind of weird.
Yeah, I guess so.
Who do you think the best news site is?
In attendance was Lauren Wainwright, who during this thing they actually did have the hey tweet about our games, you could win a PS3. That was the PR people that did that. There wasn't any of the game journalists. So that. Evan, go on.
Yeah, that's what happened there. Then, once again, Robert Florence posted this piece sort of calling out Lauren Wainwright in particular, as well as Dave Cook, another journalist, mm-hmm. who both Dave Cook and Lauren Wainwright on Twitter sort of expressed they didn't understand what was wrong with.
I can quote them here. So Lauren Wainwright, she tweeted. This is her tweet for that PS3 win or whatever. Laura Header, 2 TR picks in the gallery and a very subtle TR Tomb Raider background. Hashtag obsessed at Tomb Raider and then a picture. A few tweets later, she tweeted, quote, Trion? Trion. We're giving away PS3s to journalists at the GMAs. Not sure why that's a bad thing? End quote. Dave Cook tweeted, it was a hashtag, not an advert. Get off the pedestal.
Yes, and that was tweeted at John Walker, I believe.
Yes.
And that was what John Walker wrote his original piece about, which Robert Florence somewhat responded to in agreement. So what's happened now is MCV, which is a UK publication, website, I should say, not really a publication. Lauren Wainwright is a staff writer for MCV, and they essentially convinced Eurogamer to...
Matthew, seriously.
To pull part of that Eurogamer piece.
Yeah, so, basically cutting the parts where he called out the individual games journalists apart from Jeff Keighley.
Yeah, and, you know, there was some stuff going around where it seemed like Lauren Wainwright was threatening to sue Robert Florence, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
No.
Because ultimately, as I see it, there's sort of three sides to this issue so far. There are the people who are pro-Eurogamer, pro-John Walker as well, saying, you know, this is not acceptable for game journalists to be doing.
To be advertising for...
For a game, especially in an effort to get free stuff.
Yeah.
And then there's the other side of that issue, which is that, you know, it was a hashtag, it wasn't an advertisement. I'm sure there are people who think that there's nothing wrong with that to begin with, advertising a product. And then there's this third side, which is pretty much just saying, I'm sick of hearing these talks about game journalism, and I'm sick of people in the press arguing with other people in the press.
Right.
Which, how long has this been going on? Like, all week, pretty much, right?
Yeah, it's... I think it actually started yesterday. It feels like a week.
Yeah. Because I know there was a bunch of arguments on Twitter. It might have been something completely different, but whenever... I think it was around the time that picture of Jeff Keighley came out. Like, Patrick Klepek and a couple of other people were arguing about, like, the validity of games journalism.
Yeah, and I think that picture is a tad depressing, funny as well. But I do not think it is worth indicting games journalism over on its own.
Sorry, what was... It's not worth what?
I don't think it's worth just sort of indicting all of games journalism based on that photo. I think that's being really sort of taking a broad stroke with something that...
I mean, as big as Jeff Keighley has been for games journalism throughout his career, he's kind of... I wouldn't say lost sight, but he's kind of become bigger than like...
I just feel like this has always sort of been his thing.
Yeah,
he's the guy who...
He's a showrunner.
Go
he's
on a... Fox News to defend Mass Effect.
Yeah.
And he's the guy who...
He's
know,
the face.
He's the face. He is the pretty face people can put up.
And
when they need
man, I cannot stop staring at his face in this Mountain Dew.
It's just sort of fascinating.
It's scary.
But I think people were quick to jump on that. It's like, see, this is what's wrong with games journalism, and I think that's silly. But, in the case of what's going on right now between Eurogamer and MCV, there is a level to which I think this is an issue with current games journalism.
Yeah,
the people who are saying we need to stop talking about this, it's tiresome. Well, I mean, there's a reason people keep talking about it. It's because it's a problem.
Yeah, it's a problem that needs to be solved. And the more we argue about it, the faster it's going to get there. But my God, seriously, my Twitter is nothing but that. And I kind of...
That's partly our fault, because we follow mostly other people in this industry.
Yeah.
Twitter. But it is... is a big deal.
It's a big deal, and it is...
What were you going to say, Matthew?
I was going to say, it's just sort of... It just kind of got me thinking about what game journalism kind of is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot less, generally speaking, like if we were just like looking at IGN or Kotaku or even Game Informer, it's a lot less...
journalism.
Oh, wow, check out this interesting fact, and here's, for example, like, Polygon posted, like, a thing on the Middle East and, like, what they do and how that, and gaming and stuff like that. It's very – news in the gaming industry is very rarely stuff like that. It's mostly, man, look at BioShock Infinite's new trailer. Isn't that cool?
So, I've sort of come to this realization, too. I mean, like, a lot of games journalism right now at present moment, with some exclusions, from what Polygon seems to be doing now that they've launched this week, which is only further cluttering my news feed.
Seriously, people should check out Polygon because they're really good.
Yeah, and
yeah, it seemed promising.
A lot of good people work for Polygon now. So
go there. Polygon, you got Giant Bomb, which doesn't take no shit, and Patrick Kleber knocking it out of the park with all of his scoops.
Absolutely. I think Patrick Klepek, in a way, is like
what games journalism should investigative
journalism in video games.
So it's become a lot less. I don't even think that it's ever really been as much of what you would actually call journalism, and it's much more what you would call
hype.
I wouldn't demoralize it that like that's...
right. Well, I think Robert Clemens is his name.
No?
The guy who wrote the Eurogamer.
Oh, Robert Florence.
Yeah, sorry, Robert Florence put it a good way. He said he didn't look at himself as a game journalist. He looked at himself as a person that writes about games who really likes games.
Right, and so essentially with all the news, hey, look at this new trailer. It's more. Hey,
bloggy.
PR sent us this thing, so now we're going to give it to you.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's, there's a place for that.
Definitely.
I don't deny that there isn't. And we certainly, on Error Report, the fact that people do that makes it very easy for us to gather news to regurgitate and talk about.
But it's also now... Okay, yeah, we have all of that news and all of those trailers so that we can get excited about video games, but I don't know what the day-to-day life is for a game developer on NBA 2K13.
Yeah.
I could go ask them. They live, their offices are 10 minutes away from me.
Is that where Jay-Z is?
Yeah, they keep him in a closet.
I was driving down the street the other day and I realized we've got a Ken Levine, we've got a Notch, we've got all these developers, Ted Price. Who's the face behind sports games? Like those Jay-Z. Come out those come out
general?
Every single year, but no one ever cares that. Dude, this is crazy that they can put out this game every single year and, it actually do relatively well.
So you're calling for some investigation regarding sports games.
I want
people behind them.
Yeah, I want to know what it's like for them, because it's got to be a completely different experience than working on BioShock Infinite.
Yeah, very heavily, you know, a lot of stats and stuff like that.
I mean, I guess you figure, like, they ship NBA 2K13 a couple weeks after Get to Work on the improvements for NBA 2K14. That must be a really weird thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, okay, is it, all right, we've got a whiteboard, these are the things that we need to hit this year, and then we can focus on these things as we go, like, we go further in development. Oh, man, this would be a really cool feature. Yeah, but it's too late, so put it on the whiteboard for next year.
Yeah.
2K2014. Yeah, and then kind of make, like, a basic mode for
with
that. To kind
Jay-Z
of
and Kanye West.
Set it up.
There's some Kanye West songs in NBA 2K13.
Well, now Kanye West is getting into the producing game, so... It'll be co-executive producer.
Side note, I have played a disgusting amount of NBA 2K13, considering I'm Evan Tognotti.
So
you can be our new sports editor. You watch baseball now, too, right?
I watch baseball when my team's in the World Series, yes.
I didn't watch baseball when the Texas Rangers were World Series.
The Rangers are shit. Go Giants.
I'm not going to deny it, but still. all of the Texas-based sports teams kind of suck. I'm just going to be honest there.
What about the Rockets?
The Rockets?
Yeah. Isn't that the basketball team?
No, the Mavericks.
Oh, they changed their name?
No, the Dallas motherfucking Mavericks. What are you talking about?
I thought there was the Rockets.
Yeah, there's the Houston Rockets and the Dallas Mavericks.
Who cares about Houston? The Houston Texans don't do shit either. I don't know. Why am I even talking about sports? I don't know.
So let's get back on track.
I've always wanted to know more about the life inside of a studio. Like that is the face that PR is stopping games journalists from actually seeing. You know, that they PR is the wall that goes up so you can't see what's inside, what is the secret behind making Red Dead Redemption.
I guess I'm just always really surprised that there isn't more tension between game journalists and PR people.
Yeah.
Because there's a level to which those are opposing forces. It's like, in a perfect world, to make the PR guy's job easiest, the game reviewer wouldn't exist, and vice versa.
It also comes down to, like, right now, it's easy, because, hey, PR, this is what we're going to hit on for this month. Oh, cool, well, we think this game looks pretty cool, we're going to cover this. All right, mm-hmm. that's awesome. So everyone gets along because it's easy. But whenever it gets difficult, it's just, yeah, no, I don't, like, there's not enough Patrick Klepek's in the world to say, no, I need, like, this is a scoop that I need to get. Like, this is a story that I'm genuinely interested in.
Yeah, and like, sometimes there'll be, like, stories that pop up, but it's very rarely because someone was investigating it. It was sort of like, oh, I heard some reports of Red Dead Redemption people having to work 100 hours a week. We should probably cover that. But they don't actually look for that.
There's very little actual journalism going on. And I think that is sort of why people often call what we do enthusiast press.
Yeah.
Which is, I guess, a fair way of putting it. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I investigate news stories or anything.
No, but I want to be the, like, I want there to be that, you know, C.K. Dexter Haven from the Philadelphia Story.
Uh-huh.
You know, going with Jimmy Stewart and getting the hot scoops on a depressing family.
That's what that movie's about, right?
Yep.
So there's also, in addition to all this talk about whether or not that was right, there is some more talk over the fact that MCV sort of strong-armed Eurogamer into cutting something out of an opinion piece.
And MCV is?
MCV is the UK website, gaming website, that Lauren Wainwright works for, is a staff writer for. And
just sort of bullshit.
She and them sort of got Robert Florence to, I believe Robert Florence has left Eurogamer.
I believe.
Yeah, I think they sort of threaten legal action.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Yeah,
which is, how to put this nicely, fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
There's, at best, what he does is just talk about tweets. And there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with that. She tweeted something. He talked about it.
Yeah.
There's nothing illegal going on.
To even think that her privacy is being threatened, like, it's on fucking Twitter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She, like, it's not libel. Jesus Christ.
For the record, Lauren Wainwright has made her Twitter account private.
She still has, what, 6,000 some odd followers?
Yeah.
So it's still not private. And sure. And even so, it's on the internet. Anyone can grab anything off the internet. That privacy setting on Twitter is just so – it's for nothing. It's really for nothing because any single one of your followers could take a snapshot of your tweet and then put it on the internet.
Yeah, that is true. And it's – I mean, even if it were private, it's – I do not understand how that is – in any stretch of the imagination, libel.
No, it's not. It's not. He didn't actually say anything other than, hey, this is weird.
Yeah. And if anything, Jeff Keighley has more reason to be upset than Lauren Wainwright does.
Yeah.
Based on the content of that article.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's just weird. I don't know what it is about the gaming press that makes them so sort of thin-skinned and easy to just manipulate. Anger and shake controversies up.
Should really be the other way around.
Yeah, maybe it just hasn't been around for long enough. maybe this is the teenage years of games journalism where everybody's all moody and shit.
I hope so. Yeah.
But it bothers me. And
yeah.
There is really no way for this to go away unless people keep talking about it and people keep trying to do things that are trying to be conscious of their behavior. I mean, I'm not, people make mistakes.
Yeah.
If these people had tweeted about trying to get a free PS3, and then somebody said, hey, that's sort of bad, and they were like, oh, sorry, I didn't realize. That would be one thing. But the fact that
they're getting so defensive
in defending their actions, that, you know, as a journalist, is entirely within my rights to do this.
You couldn't just say, oh, I screwed up. This was whatever. No, you have to keep digging. You have to keep going, and it's totally. It's this whole thing is just kind of putting into perspective what games journalism needs to become.
Yeah, it's too connected with PR. It's too connected with advertising and just some weird corporate influence in places.
I mean, there needs to be that kind of connection, but it cannot, we need to not be in a codependent relationship.
Yeah. The most famous example of something like this going horribly, horribly wrong.
Is it the Jeff Gerstmann?
The Jeff Gerstmann GameSpot debacle.
Kane and Lynch.
With Kane and Lynch Dog Days, which is essentially just legend at this point.
Yeah.
But should also serve as a fair, you know, history repeats itself. I'll say that. And
I mean, that sort of thing
is still present.
That was more on the corporate side of CBS. Was it CBS back then? It wasn't CBS, was it? GameSpot, whoever owned GameSpot back in 2006, or so, it was more them than it was the actual PR advertisement of Kane and Lynch Dog Days on GameSpot itself.
That's true.
That propelled.
But I mean, that advertisement was put in place by the corporate.
Yes. People. Yes. And it was them who said, hey, listen, because Jeff Gertzman talked about this on GameSpot right before they moved back to the building with CBS Interactive. He said that they were like, hey, listen, we don't think you should be reviewing a game that harshly whenever we've got ad money on the table for this. So you either need to not do that or we're going to fire you.
Right.
And Jeff Gerstmann was pretty much like, what the fuck? Okay, whatever. Fuck it.
Yeah. And I think it's telling that most of the places right now doing really good work almost feel like a rebellion against that sort of thing. You know, Giant Bomb, in its early days at least, was very much kind of like, yeah, fuck you, guys. Look at what we're doing over here. This is great.
Yeah, we have 5 stars. Yeah,
I still think there is a lot of that.
And like, even with Polygon, that was an assemblage of a bunch of different journalists from a bunch of different publications who wanted to come together and make something a little bit different and a lot better.
To some extent. It's sort of like an amalgamation of, like, you know, your Kotakus, your IGNs, but also, like, your more investigative journalism focused game websites, even though those are smaller. I think Rock Paper Shotgun is one of them.
Yeah.
This is also different from, you know, a lot of opinion pieces and you know, feature stuff that a lot of these sites do, like what Game Informer's been doing as of late. You know, what Matthew said right before we started recording with, like, the opposing positions of different... Matthew, what was it that you were saying?
Different opinions, like they're almost having debates, sort of.
Right.
Happening. Sort of incidentally, almost.
So, I mean, while that stuff is really interesting and it really brings out some questions for, you know, the gaming industry, it doesn't try to answer any of those questions. And I think that is what we need to start. I say we, but what we eventually, because I still want to do this, what we eventually need to actually do, which is ask why and figure out why.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a level to which I think a lot of the big places people go for games are technical minded, in a way I don't like. You know, IGN and GameSpot have some very good people working for them, but they are at the end of the day just sort of finely tuned content providing machines.
Yeah.
That just sort of release things at a very specific rate, and they have a very specific way of doing things that tries to attract the least amount of controversy possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And even that doesn't always work because people who read gaming sites are sort of fickle and awful.
Hey, controversy is a great thing.
Sure. I mean, as I found out with my Resident Evil 6 review.
I mean, it's not a great thing. What am I trying to say? It is both good and bad. It is not good to incite the internet directly, but if that comes about, like, if you are questioning something that is like, let's take the Resident Evil 6 review for example, you're taking something that is popular and you're questioning whether or not that is, like, the right belief, like, that is a good thing to fuck, I am losing all my words. Is that fucking pasta that I ate stole all of my brain juice?
Yeah, there's this sort of weird degree of, like, general consensus when it comes to reviewing games. Like, if people like, you know, I'm not saying Dishonored's a bad game or anything. I'm liking it a lot so far. But if you go onto, like, Dishonored's Metacritic, like, most people like Dishonored. Like, if people like a game, then everyone likes the game, it seems. Do you know what I mean?
Well,
like, it almost seems like, you
I mean,
know,
that's 'cause it's a good game
review, but it's right. But, like, almost almost any given game is going to be like the same score plus or minus 2 or 3 points.
Right. I mean, that's sort of the product of living in an age where we have things like Metacritic and Rotten Tomatoes, is that no single opinion is viewed on its own. It's if somebody reads my review of Resident Evil 6, they will inherently push it against whatever that game has on Metacritic.
Yeah.
That will be sort of the guiding motivation, which is unfortunate. I've talked at length about why I don't like Metacritic very much, but it's, you know, I think it's this weird transitional period where what we do used to be something different than what it is now. I think games journalism, for the most part, used to be not just enthusiast press, but press designed to get people to buy games.
Right, yeah.
At least, certainly the magazine eras of
games. Nintendo Power, let's be honest.
Like Nintendo Power.
Yeah.
And so now, are you saying that games journalism is...
It's becoming more like real journalism.
Right.
Yeah.
It's becoming people actually doing different things, doing interesting things, saying interesting things, and making a better overall effort.
Yeah, that's a good point. I never kind of thought about, like, I guess, you know, I was thinking, like, oh, it should be like this, but I never really realized that it was practically advertising to begin with, and this is a big step forward when you think about it.
Yeah, I mean, when A Link to the Past came out, there weren't internet forums, at least not many, where people could talk about how the Dark World is a bunch of bullshit. Like, you know, having the internet as angry and easy to ruffle as it is sort of both a blessing and a curse, in that I think it encourages sites to do more. It sort of challenges them in a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That I really appreciate. It certainly challenges me. More of that, less of the sort of thing I think we saw with this PS3.
Hey, you guys, guess what? Man, that Tomb Raider game looks so cool. Hashtag awesome. I'm going to get a
Wii U. It's the obsess that drives it over the line for me.
I'm going to get a Wii U. Yeah.
And I don't think there's anything inherently bad about a journalist talking about a game they're really looking forward to.
Right.
No, yeah, that is not a bad thing. Like, you can, hey, Halo 4, like a lot of game reviewers, Halo 4 looks really, really cool. They're not getting paid by 343 or Microsoft to say Halo 4 looks really, really cool, because Halo 4 looks really, really cool.
Right. It's just there's this... You know, the cliche thing now is, oh man, IGN's getting paid off by Activision, which is bullshit. I don't think that's ever...
Right.
Famitsu, I believe, there have been rumors of that happening there, especially with... They gave Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker a 40, which is a perfect score from them.
Whoa.
And that
game's pretty good, but...
That came directly following a bunch of, like... cover spreads of Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker.
Right.
There were rumors going around that was a review that was bought. But I cannot think of an American publication that I have known to do that. That's not really how this works.
I did it.
Oh, shit.
But gave XCOM a 5 out of 5.
It's like being a game journalist... To most people who aren't game journalists, must be the coolest fucking thing, because we just have, like, shady back alley meetings where people slip us bribes.
Yep.
It's like, give Resident Evil 6 a 1.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
it's from Konami.
That's not true. I go out, I buy a video game, and I play it, and I tell you what I think. And that's.
But, on the way
were
back.
You given,
from...
Were you given a bribe from a coalition of people against Ondas DLC?
Yes.
On the way back from getting that copy of Resident Evil 6, you went down a dark alley where Mr. Slugworth gave you $10,000.
That's true. That's very true.
That's a good allegory, Clint.
Yeah. And, you know, now we have a situation here I think the best evidence that that sort of thing doesn't happen is how many game journalists really speak up when they feel like something like that is happening.
Yeah.
And how quickly they're shut down if they do.
Yeah, this is a perfect example. The reason people are upset here is because it is the guiding rule of being a critic is that you should not accept, you should not let a PR person influence a grade you give to a game.
Right.
I mean, that's just the way it goes.
But they took me on a helicopter ride.
Yeah.
There was that weird thing with Call of Duty Black Ops where they all went to like a resort spa, like a lot of the people that reviewed the game, then they got to review the game.
What was it that Jeff Gerstmann said? It was on a past Bombcast. Jeff Gerstmann said, yeah, no, it's basically that, and I'm paraphrasing here, that PR gets a certain budget, and, you know, towards the end of the year, they're like, oh, man, we need to spend this money or else we're not going to get the same amount next year. Where do you want to go for vacation? They pick a spot on the map. That's where we're going to show off our game because we want to go jet skiing.
I mean, PR is never going to not do that.
No.
I mean, you saw just recently Medal of Honor Warfighter, that four-page list of patch notes.
Oh, my God.
That was... Oh, my God.
And no publications got that game until the day it came out.
Right. Because they did not want...
needed that patch.
Yeah, they did not want people to see that game without the patch.
Yeah. That game was sent to die. Jesus.
And so that's why... I think that it would be really interesting to get a copy of Metal of Honor Warfighter and not install that patch.
And see what it's like?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be interesting. But the point there is that PR people and companies that publish games are always trying to have one over on the press. I think that's just fair knowledge.
I mean,
that's the tug of war. Yeah, they do some things to try to sway opinions in their favor, or if they know a game's bad, they'll ship it out late. The same thing happens with movies. They'll ship it out late so that, you know, for the first couple days, no reviews will be posted and people might buy it without reading reviews.
Mm-hmm.
That happens. And there's nothing to do about that but counter it and try not to let it affect you. But I think that's why it's such a blow when you see a bunch of legitimate people in this industry saying, oh man, this game looks so good, and I'm going to tweet using this hashtag so I can be entered in a contest to get a free PS3 from the PR people. Like, it's icky.
Yeah.
It's real icky.
Now I just want to add that hashtag to every single one of my tweets.
So, I'd say that was a pretty good talk we had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you, listener, have an opinion that you want us to discuss with you, you should follow us on Twitter and you should tell us your opinion. I'm at not_found_blog. Clint is at @OriginalClint. Matthew is at @TarrellVirus, TarrellVirus. Join our Facebook group also. Might as well throw that in there. It's Aeronaut Found Civilized Discourse Corner. And visit aeronautfound.org for all your totally unbiased media reviews.
Totally biased coming from me. I mean,
yeah,
Gearbox is not 15 minutes from here, and they totally bribed me whenever I was reviewing Borderlands 2.
I just want to be clear, man. If somebody came up to me and said, hey, we'll pay you $50,000 to give this game a good review, I wouldn't do it.
No.
I'd totally do it.
But that amount of money, like $50,000, that's not going to happen.
But the point is that never happens.
No.
Even if someone in the industry would do that, that is not a thing that happens.
Yeah.
The worst that happens is the Jeff Gerstmann debacle and stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still bad and it still needs to be dealt with.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all there is to say, guys.
So the next time that something that lights up the internet happens, we'll be here on Pushing the Hot Button. #obsessed.
Boom.